Welcome to Spill Radio. This program is being recorded on the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh people. I am Tatiana Melama, hosting this program on behalf of the Morris and Helen Belkin Art Gallery at the University of British Columbia. Spill Radio is presented in collaboration with CITR 101.9 FM, with sound production and editing by Joshua Stevenson. Today's episode includes a conversation between Bopa Che, director-curator of ArtSpeak, with the artists Cece Weiss and Anne Riley. This interview was recorded for ArtSpeak Radio Digest and was originally broadcast on Vancouver's Co-op Radio. Weiss is Squamish, Stolo, Hawaiian Swiss, and is a multidisciplinary artist, ethnobotanist, educator, and food security activist, with a 30-year practice that engages with communities, technology, and ecosystems by sharing stories. Anne Riley is a multidisciplinary artist based in Vancouver. Her work explores different ways of being and becoming, touch, and indigeneity. Riley is Korean Dene from Fort Nelson First Nation and received her BFA from the University of Texas. In this conversation, Weiss and Riley speak about their collaborative project, Soundtrack for the Radical Love of Butterflies, a cassette edition that they released on August 4th, 2018 in Mike McDonald's Butterfly Garden at the Walter Phillips Gallery at the Banff Center on the traditional territory of the Stoney Nakoda, Blackfoot, and Tsuut'ina Nations. Each track consists of interviews and songs with Indigenous women and Two Spirits who have started social justice groups and whose work remediates the very systems they work in. Before we begin the interview, we will play a soundscape from the soundtrack by Weiss and Riley that is a recording of the Harmony Garden Bees.
Chen Quen Mentomi Wit, Hoit Chakwa, Wei Chakyolth, Toits Tanat, Quien Snas. So I was welcoming you here. I'm going to say Anhas Kwail, it's a beautiful day. Anhas Kwalawans, my heart feels lifted. Introduced you to myself in my language and also in my name, Toits Tanat. And yeah, and we're in Harmony Garden, standing by the didactic panel with the Indigenous plants, and we're at Hamalchitsyn.
I'm Anne Riley. I'm Cree and Tsleil-Waututh Dene on my mom's side from Fort Nelson First Nation, and German on my dad's side. And I am a multidisciplinary artist here in Vancouver, living on the unceded territory of the Musqueam, Squamish, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. So Musi Cho to those nations, and Musi Cho to Cece today for welcoming us here.
Thank you. I wanted to ask, thank you so much for having me here at the garden. It's so nice to kind of see where you work and where you first started working too, right? You said, Anne?
Yeah, Cece and I, our relationship started like three years ago, and it was through the introduction of Lai Wan introducing us, and Lai Wan had come into my life through volunteering for one of her projects, actually, Free Sage, Free Advice, that actually Cece had offered and harvested the sage for that, and I guess that's how we first met, actually, was through that medicine you had harvested. And I love that project by Lai Wan because it's kind of about you taking your own advice.
Yeah. Totally.
It's, like, it's so great, you know? And it's so Lai Wan in a beautiful, intelligent, kind way as she is. And so that was the first project I was introduced. I guess that's really how I first met Cece, was through her medicine. And then Lai Wan and I started working together, mentoring together, which was really important in my life to start mentoring and decolonizing my education that I had been offered, to start mentoring with queer women who otherwise I would have never learned from. So the BC Arts Council has that mentorship grant, and so that's where I asked Cece if I could also mentor with her for that. And so it was an embodied mentorship. And so then we started working together, and I think one of our first meetings was here at Harmony.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting here just waiting and thinking of, and then Laiwan being like, just see what animals arise. And I remember there was this black cat that came, and I was really in a time of grief and moving here and understanding things. And it was just thinking how, you know, there's a lot that you can learn. And I think Cece has been doing that here. And where things are being taught to you all the time. And so that's where we really started a relationship. And then in the last year or so, we've started to become collaborators. But I think we've been collaborating the whole time. But one, I think for me, I'll always be learning from Cece. And I think a lot of it's also just the relationship of how to be indigenous women in a system like the art world, and how to cultivate relationships that, one that is, we're both healing in many ways, but, and how to heal in the system that actually wants us to be in competition. Right. And so I think that's something that, just to have another way to be together, to have relationship in that system. And so it's, and through the love that we have, mutual love we have of the radical love of the more than human beings. Right. And so the remediators, the ones doing deep remediation work, and to think of along that side of way of being as an art practice.
Right.
And so the first project I guess we started collaborating on was the Constellation for Remediation project for the city, and we got commissioned, and that's still in the works, and hopefully we'll start soon. But once we got commissioned for that, we started getting opportunities because people wanted, they were like, this is really amazing, like we want to have this in the show. And we weren't, in the last year since we've been doing research to get it started, we didn't have work. But when we got invited to be in the show at Banff with by Jacqueline Bell there, we felt really aligned with the curation and her ideas for the show. And since she was inviting us, because the initial Constellation for Remediation project, she just said, you're open to do whatever you'd like, you know. And so Cece and I were like, yes, we want to be in the show. We really want to be in conversation with these other artists who are doing also work in remediation in systems. And so we were actually having a meeting here at Harmony, and that's where the soundtrack idea came.
Right.
Where it flowed. And because Cece was also the Indigenous storyteller in residence at the VPL at the time, and so she was talking about all these equipment and recording. And then I was like, well, let's interview people. How are we going to research about Mike McDonald's work? Because also being invited by Banff specifically, we thought directly about the butterfly garden there that was planted in 1996 by Mike McDonald.
Right.
And Cece knowing Mike, who had lived here for 15 years, and I didn't know that. And I was like, what? And then I found out he was Two-Spirit, and that's when I got quite emotional here in Harmony. And she told me that because it made me realize, like, it was a moment that I realized I felt less alone in this system.
Right.
The contemporary art world, like, where
the systemic issues around that.
Yeah, just where, like, oh, this queer man was, you know, this Two-Spirit man was planting all of these gardens throughout Canada.
So he planted not just the one at Banff.
Yeah, there were about maybe seven that he planted, yeah, that were commissioned, but they weren't permanent.
Yeah.
So the Banff one is a permanent butterfly garden. That's why it still exists. But there was one planted at Presentation House.
Right.
There was one
Western Front, I think.
Western Front. And so through the research with the curatorial team also at Banff, there was also a sadness we experienced of seeing that these gardens aren't here anymore. Right. And but really radical stories about also, like, he had a rooftop garden at the Winnipeg Art Gallery, and like the garden was basically, he just had potted plants in like a lawn chair and he would just smoke cigarettes. And I just loved that image so much, because I think Cece and I's work also with the public art project is a lot about redefining what a garden is.
Right.
That it can be accessible to anybody, because a garden is really, gardening is really just a conversation.
Right.
It's relationship. And but I loved that image of like just him smoking a cigarette with these like potted plants on the on this museum rooftop, and like, you know, just wow. But
I feel like so much of your work is about transformation on kind of two different levels, like one where it's addressing kind of systemic historical and social cultural issues, and then on the other hand, so much of it is about tenderness or a mm-hmm. kind of community healing, in a sense, especially with this project that you did in Banff, Soundtrack for the Radical Love of Butterflies. I'm wondering if you could speak a little bit about that and Mike McDonald, because I feel like his name is one that continually comes up ever mm-hmm. since I've arrived in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. And I still don't actually know what he looks like, but I just like hear about his projects and hear his name, read his name constantly. So I'm just thinking about this kind of intergenerational process of healing and acknowledging that is a slow process, as you say, and like mm-hmm. how that takes time.
So, yeah, I met Mike years ago when I started getting into media. I think it was in the 90s, and my mother wanted me to do land claims research videos. So I was like, okay, I'll go. And I went, a friend of mine told me about VideoWin. So I went and did some training. Then I started, you know, connecting with people, and I found my way to Western Front, and I meet this extraordinary guy, Mike McDonald, who smoked a lot and talked about butterflies all the time. And all his work, I saw a lot of his photographs of like macro shot lenses of butterflies and other pollinators. And it was just like, oh man, this is gorgeous. Why aren't more people doing this? And, you know, it was just so natural for him. It was really, it just flowed naturally, his love of pollinators and that it extended to plants, because that was the food source. So we really connected on the plant level, and I would, you know, and I would share what I knew, and we'd have these great dialogues about indigenous plants and their importance of existing, right? And I mean, it's funny that it took me so long to become a beekeeper, but it was probably more about access of a place to do that. So when this garden happened, the bees showed up, right?
Yeah.
But my conversations and times with Mike, I was just always in awe of his ability to work in two mediums that are so fascinating to me, which is the natural world and with ethnobotany, that form of technology being our oldest technology, and then media, its newest form of technology. And then because I was in that place of going like, how do I fit into this when I'm really nature girl? And meeting somebody like Mike was very influential for me, because I could look at somebody who has built a life around connecting those two elements together and making them harmonious. And I realized that there was more to it than what I was seeing, that it was a really profound, deep connection on both levels that naturally flowed together. You know, their root systems, their mycelium, everything, just looking at how it all has similar roles, and that it's all about healing. And my experience with media has always been training youth in media, especially youth that are really dealing with serious marginalized community issues, or they're in high risk situations with their lives. And I would just see magic happen when they picked up a camera or learned how to record audio, and how technology was healing them, and they were able to tell their stories in their ways and learn things and feel really good about themselves. Like their confidence would just go up. And I also would see that with people that I brought out into nature and taught them about plants. And I really tried to, over the years, I've really tried to meld the two together so people see how they're one and the same. And that's something I really learned from Mike, and about just how passionate he was, that I remember when he embarked on this journey across Canada to plant these butterfly gardens, and I was like, wow, that is amazing and fascinating. And to take your practice and make it share something so meaningful and so profound and so loving, you know? And yeah, and he was just like this really sweet guy with really great energy. And he was always surrounded by people because people just wanted to be around him, you know? And his good energy, where he just emitted love, right? And that love really transferred into gardens. And, you know, I know if Mike was still around today, this would be a place he would show up and just hang out here and smoke and happy. Yeah, he'd be right here smoking. And I'm sure in his own way, his spirit comes here.
I think in the context of love and tenderness and the reality of being critical of the world in which we live in is an ongoing practice that I'm learning to cultivate, of how to be to create in a way that you're opening up other spaces for other people. And I think that Mike did that with these gardens and he was also way before his time. You know, I think people like him and Ayana were these makers and beings that were making projects and cultivating relationship that was not supported or hip or anything at that time like it is now. And I think they paved the way for Indigenous artists and queer Indigenous artists like myself to get recognition and to be considered when a time when, like when Ayana was making that we weren't considered, you know, in a time. And I think a lot about that, about my queer elders who have paved the way, who, you know, lived in a time when they would get arrested for being butch or being queer. And so when I came, you know, I just feel like in many ways, like following the path of that I'm on, and then, you know, working with people like Cease and cultivating loving, kind relationship, that it's coming across Mike's practice was just like a affirmation of being on the right path, and that thinking about his gardens as another path in the system. And that's, for me, was emotional to be like, oh, my queer kin, finding my queer kin in a system that is quite difficult and oppressive for us. But it opened up this other world and a place of nourishment, both spiritually and emotionally and artistically, that I could pursue. So creating the soundtrack for The Radical Love of Butterflies was really kind of pursuing that path of how to do love and tenderness in a project while also being critical of the system. So thinking of all the people we interviewed for this project, are a lot of Indigenous women who've started social justice groups. And I think a lot about that, about Indigenous women who are doing really radical, important work in community as remediators of these various systems. And I think about how creative they are and how I want to hold them up and honor their practice, creative practice, as another way of making, because I feel like in the art system it's so limited, and how we think what art is and should be and presented. So this project was really about that too, in many ways, was honoring these women's work and the radical decolonial sounds that they're making and the radical love of their work,
right,
of tenderness and criticality and softness, this radical softness that I think a lot about. And so it was also, for Cece and I, it's not so much about the objects that we're making, and our individual practices and collaboratively, but it's about presence. It's about a radical presence. So that object can hold that radical presence, but the work that we do in our chrysalis of the project is something that can't be consumed or that we talk much about because it doesn't have a language that can be translated. It's that deeper work that's private, especially for Indigenous artists who have to do so much more work just to begin presenting, to clear the baggage of colonialism in a practice, in a body. So I feel really, really honored to have been, have these collaborators in the project for the soundtrack of Radical Butterflies and let us interview them and highlight their work. And it's a durational piece. It's about 2 hours of interviews. So it's really, can you sit with this? Can you really do the work of sitting? And when we released the soundtrack in Mike's garden at Banff, it was really important that we only had a limited number of tapes because the soundtrack is not meant for it to be mass produced and, you know, given to everybody because it's about presence. It's, we had to be there and offer it to you and offer the medicine that's in the soundtrack about the responsibility of that, of that these, what's in this soundtrack. So it was, it's for me as a Dene woman, it's, it'll be my lifelong journey to understand what this is. But I truly feel that these Indigenous women doing the social justice work is medicine for everybody.
Right.
So that's how I guess this conversation of love and tenderness and radical love, what is it, you know, and also thinking, like, we talked about this during the release, was the question of, like, how can we learn to love, like, the radical love of butterflies, you know? What does that look like in your life and your practice and who you want to be? Like, who do you want to be? Like, yeah. Who do you want to be in love? And what is the kind of love you desire in your life? I think a lot about that.
You have been listening to Spill Radio. To learn more about ArtSpeak Radio Digest and listen to their archive of episodes, please visit the ArtSpeak website.